Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. The number 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and Canada. And if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we cordially invite you to call right now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, well, the number is the same in the U.S. and, as I said, in Canada, 844-322-2742. Let us hear from you right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, many people think about the grace of God, or when they think about the grace of God, they think about their salvation experience. Yeah. They think about that moment that they trusted Jesus, that they realized that Christ died for their sins, that they realized that Christ was raised so that they could have eternal life, mm-hmm. and they receive Jesus, and to them that's grace. So they isolate it to that single moment in time where they went from death to life through faith in Christ. Well, if that's your view, then you're going to struggle in the Christian life, and that's exactly what I did. I knew something happened to me when I received Christ, when I responded to the message of his death, burial, and resurrection, but I didn't know what that meant to me going forward. And so I was like the Galatians. I was trying to perfect myself through human effort. And that's exactly what Paul chastised the Galatians all about. In chapter 3 of his letter, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." What a way to win friends and influence people, yeah. right? He was not subtle at all. He let them have it with his words. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." So what Paul is saying there is Jesus was the story. And guess what? Jesus is still the story. He died, but he was raised back to life. And he's alive today. So just as he did something at that cross, he's doing something now in his resurrected life. Mm-hmm. So it's not up to us. The Christian life, as far as salvation is concerned, is not on our shoulders. Neither is living the Christian life. We do that by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So Paul asks this, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Well, the answer is obvious. Hearing with faith. So we heard the message. Faith comes by hearing. So we had to hear the story about Jesus. Now, that is a really interesting topic to discuss. Hearing the message concerning Christ. I can't tell you the number of people that I've talked to through the years, and I've told them plainly about Jesus. He died. Jesus Christ died at a place called Calvary. I can even show them pictures of mm-hmm. where that might be in Israel. He died right there. He was buried in a tomb that was close by in a garden setting. A stone was rolled in front of that tomb. A Roman guard was put in front of it. It was sealed. Nobody was going to get in that tomb unless they allowed it to happen. But on the third day, all kinds of crazy things happened. And that stone was rolled away. Angels showed up. And Jesus comes out of the tomb. He's alive. And he shows himself to his closest friends, his apostles, and 500 at one time. And then he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Now, that's the story. Now, Jesus is the only character in that story. He and God the Father and God the Spirit. It's Jesus doing something on our behalf. It's him dying for our sins, him being buried to put an end to our old way of life. It's Jesus being raised back to life so that we could have everlasting life. So it's Jesus from start to finish. There's no other person mentioned in that. So you tell that story. You do it as clearly as you possibly can. And for so many people, it goes in the ears. And then when you ask them to explain it, it comes out something about them. Well, I'm going to start going to church. I think I should read my Bible more. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to try harder. Hey, stop. Wait, hold up. Time out. Hold up, trigger. you didn't hear the story.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you reading your Bible, although you're going to want to when you really respond to the story. It's not about you doing all of these things. It's about Jesus. The news is about him. So oftentimes we deliver the message, and it's very clear in the delivery. It's not so clear in the reception.
Right.
And so there's cross signals there. So he's saying you heard the message, and you combined your hearing of that message with faith. You said, I'm going to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my full weight of trust on Jesus Christ. I'm not going to rely on my Bible reading. I'm not going to rely on me trying harder. I'm not going to rely on me trying to do good. I'm going to rely totally 100% upon the work of Jesus Christ as sufficient for my salvation.
Yeah.
So that's how this new life comes to you. So we receive it by faith. So then he goes on to say, are you so foolish? Here's that word again. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Or are you now trying to perfect yourself through human effort? That's where so many people get in trouble as far as the Christian life is concerned. We know we're saved by grace. We're grateful we're saved by grace. We've gained entry into this house of God.
Yeah.
But once we're in the house, then we have to perfect ourselves through human effort. That's when the Christian life becomes very dicey, and we can become very frustrated with the experience.
Yes, indeed.
Well, folks, the way of grace is an eternal way. It had a beginning as far as you're concerned. It had no beginning as far as the word is concerned. Why? Because it's attached to God. It's a God word. So he had no beginning. Therefore, grace had no beginning. But in our lives, when we received, when we were saved by grace, there was a moment in time. But we enter into that story, and it becomes our eternal way. So just as we were saved, that's exactly how we're to live, by grace, through faith in Jesus. So if you're struggling in your Christian life, take a fresh look at the grace of God. Recognize that it's not only the entry into the house of God, it is the life that you're going to live in the house of God as a member of his body, by grace, through faith in Jesus.
What a message. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And people, thanks to you. Thank you for joining us today. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And if you are hearing the broadcast at roughly 7 or 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the Basic Gospel Live broadcast. And as I said, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And friends, when you give of what God has blessed you with, you not only are helping to ensure that Basic Gospel is able to pay its bills and stay on the air and online, you're literally reaching into the hearts and lives of people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, in dark days, or any days for that matter, people need to hear a message of hope and assurance. And if Basic Gospel is there, well, they're going to hear the message. It's our hope that countless numbers will be able to hear, believe, and live in this good news of the love, grace, and life of Jesus. That's our mission, and we thank each one of you who returns a portion of what God has blessed you with to ensure that Basic Gospel continues to be available and that people will continue to hear this message of encouragement and assurance of the love of Jesus. And when you give for the rest of May, be sure to request your copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a token of our thanks for being faithful supporters of the message you hear each day on Basic Gospel. As always, you can donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. And yes, what we talked about at the top of the hour is a big part of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a part of my story. We really dive deep into Galatians chapter 3. We really look at this freedom that we have in Christ. So if you're frustrated, if you're struggling with how to live the Christian life, this is the book for you. We want to put it in your hands as quickly as possible. So make your contribution today. We're also asking you to give generously. Our fiscal year end is coming up soon, June 30th. We have a ways to go to be able to meet all of our obligations, to pay all of our airtime and all the other expenses that are associated with delivering a daily broadcast such as this, not only through the radio airwaves, but through many internet partners, through Facebook, through YouTube. There's a lot that goes into this, and we need your help to keep it going. So we're looking for a miracle, quite frankly, a miracle to help lift us out of this COVID-19 downward slide that we've been on, and to lift us up to a point where we're going to end the year in a very solid position. So if you can help, we need your help now. And as I said, we want to put this book in your hands. You will not be disappointed in reading the book. It will be a real blessing in your life, and it's a real blessing for us to be able to put it into your hands.
Absolutely. And again, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. And Bob, we had this question from Kathy, who's listening on WDWD in Atlanta. And she says, I was listening to your program and heard the question concerning using the name of Jesus or Yeshua or Yeshua. I agree with you, but was disappointed that you did not acknowledge that Jesus was called by his original Hebrew name, Yeshua, until English translations of the Greek New Testament were written. During that same program, Christian unity was stressed. If there are numerous churches with some serious divergent beliefs and practices, either theological or cultural, there cannot be complete unity because there's only one truth. Your thoughts from Kathy.
Well, Kathy, I mean, there's all kinds of languages on planet Earth. I don't know how many thousands, but there's a bunch.
Yeah.
And so Hebrew was the original language as far as the Old Testament is concerned. Aramaic and Greek were the original languages as far as the New Testament is concerned. We found manuscripts of these writings. I think the New Testament, there's about 5,000 different manuscripts that were found in the Greek language. And then there were manuscripts in many other languages that were found. So if we're going to get that information into native tongues, the languages that people speak and that people read, we're going to have to do translation. And so we translate from the original into another language. And in that other language, Yeshua, as far as English is concerned, becomes Jesus. That's just the way it's translated. So when somebody says Yeshua, as far as the Hebrew pronunciation of it, and we say Jesus, we're speaking about the same person.
Absolutely.
We're speaking about that guy that came into the world 2,000 years ago, that guy that was born of a virgin, that was born in Bethlehem, that escaped into Egypt and then made his way back to the Galilee area and was raised in Nazareth by Joseph and Mary, who came on the scene around the age of 30, was baptized by John the Baptist, performed miracles like you wouldn't believe. He taught with authority like no one has ever taught before. At the end of his life, he submitted himself to the plan of God as far as his death is concerned. He was hung on a Roman cross. He was buried, and then on the third day was raised back to life. He spent 40 days here on planet Earth, post-resurrection, appearing to Peter and to James and to Paul and to 500 at one time and the apostles and the disciples. And then he ascended and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. So in Hebrew, that's Yeshua. In English, that's Jesus. And we're regardless of what language we operate in, what language we speak, we're going to use that language,
yes.
And we're going to call his name in that language. And you know, we don't get mad when we hear somebody in Spanish say Jesus. Well, that's not Yeshua. Well, Yes, it is in Spanish.
Yeah.
So let's recognize language differences, but let's recognize the unity that we all experience because of the commonness of our new birth in Christ mm-hmm. and our ongoing faith in Jesus Christ.
Kathy, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And again, 844-322-2742 is a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. We have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742.
Well, we have this question from our YouTube viewer, B. Daniels. What should we make of it when tongues are spoken in church with no interpretation? Are those people overrunning 1 Corinthians 14:27? And she says, thank you. Well, if somebody gets up and speaks in a language that no one knows and there's no interpretation that can be given for what was just said, then it's of no benefit to the church. It's of no benefit to the body. So it was useless. It was meaningless as far as the body of Christ was concerned. Maybe the person speaking it was edified, and that's probably the case, but no one else.
Yeah.
And yes, that is what Paul was getting at when he addressed the gifts and the abuse of the gifts that were taking place in the church at Corinth. They were using those gifts for self-edification instead of edification for the body. That's why Paul would say, you know, the gift of tongues is great, but I encourage people, if they're looking for one, to pray for the gift of prophecy. Why? Because that's going to be more beneficial to the body. And here's the deal as far as spiritual gifts are concerned. God equips us through His Spirit with those gifts. They're not for our benefit. They're for the edification, the building up of the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can carry out its function here on planet Earth. So God has put the body together in such a way, has put us at the various spots within the body that He's chosen for each and every one of us. We all have a role in making this body function, and we have giftings to bring that about. And that giftings, those giftings are for the benefit of the body itself so that we can do what God has called us to do out there in the world at large. So anytime that we turn those gifts on ourselves and use them for self-edification, we're missing the point of spiritual gifts altogether.
Wood, hay, and stubble.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And a lot of times we're looking for spiritual experiences, and something about those spiritual experiences feeds my assurance, feeds my need to know that I'm still connected. And I think if we'll all just come to grips with the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's going to satisfy that need.
Yeah.
And we won't need spiritual experiences. We can enjoy our experience of faith in Jesus Christ and really love every minute of that. But we'll come to the point where we don't need an experience to satisfy that longing for assurance, that comfort of knowing that, hey, God's still with me.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, He's still with you.
Regardless,
and
yeah.
If you'll just start believing that and resting in it, then that confidence and assurance will start to grow in your life.
B, thanks for reaching out as always. Always good questions, and thanks. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And I'm going to give the number one more time, 844-322-2742. And I want to remind you also that the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional arrives in email boxes every morning, bringing an uplifting message of truth to encourage readers throughout the day. Subscription is free, and you can subscribe now by clicking the link in the upper left corner of any page at the Basic Gospel website. That's basicgospel.net. Again, in the upper left corner, you'll find the subscribe link, and we hope you'll click that like right now. Well, Bob, we had this question from Kent. Acts 2, he references, Peter says to repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. We see Saul being baptized in Acts 10, and in Acts 10, the Gentiles being baptized. Sorry about that. What is the purpose of water baptism? Romans 6 is often used as proof of it being essential in placing you in Jesus Christ. What's your response to Kent?
Well, Romans 6 never talks about water baptism. It just talks about the fact that we have been placed into Christ by the Spirit. So we've been baptized by the Spirit into Christ.
Yeah.
That's the baptism that matters. I mean, John the Baptist, he said all along, I mean, from the time that he came on the scene, he kept saying, I baptize with water, but there's somebody coming after me who is going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that baptism with Spirit is the baptism into the body of Christ, the baptism into new life in Jesus Christ. The fire is judgment. That is going to happen. So when we come to Christ, we are baptized by the Spirit, putting us into the body of Christ, and we become members. So we've been placed or baptized into Christ's death, and then we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, water baptism is merely a celebration of that spiritual reality. And it's a wonderful celebration to take part in. It is an opportunity for you as an individual to say publicly to a group of people, to fellow members of the body of Christ, that you have identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, that you are now a member of the body of Christ. And That's a wonderful announcement, a wonderful confession that you can make through this sacrament of baptism. And then the body has an opportunity to celebrate with you. And there's great rejoicing that can happen. So in many respects, it's just a big old party of people gathered to welcome you into the household of God. Now, that's not the church building.
Right.
That's just the community of believers. That's just the church. That's the body. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Is it necessary for salvation? Absolutely not. It's simply believing the good news concerning Jesus. Faith comes by hearing concerning the message of Jesus Christ. When we believe that good news story, then we're added to the great number. And that's exciting. Water baptism is simply a celebration of what's taken place.
Ken, thanks for your question. Loved hearing from you. Bob Susie would like to know, in Philippians 1:6, what does until the day of Christ mean?
Well, until the day of Christ, I'm just thinking that that would mean when he returns. So he's going to be at work in his body until he returns. He's going to be at work in us until we go to be with him. But I think there specifically, it's just talking about that day when he is coming back and when he will be revealed and we're going to be revealed with him. Let me give you a couple of references or one specific passage to take a look. Oh, I'm going to give you two. First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It talks about the fact that we're children of God. It talks about the fact that there's going to be a day when Jesus returns. And when he does, we're going to see him for who he is. And we're going to realize who we are in him. We're going to see clearly. And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 as well. And we'll understand through that Christ is our life. When he appears, we're going to appear with him, and we're going to be like him. So this is the work that Jesus is involved in now, completing us until that day when he returns.
Good questions, folks. I appreciate hearing from each one of you. And for all of you, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If Bible questions or life concerns arise, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you and answer your question or address your particular concern on Basic Gospel. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Keep in mind also that as our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel this month, we'd like to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Click donate at basicgospel.net and help us get the message of grace in Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible by every means possible. So when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, Bob, a new series starting tomorrow on Friday, a series in Titus, I understand.
That's right. We're gonna do that. We've been keeping Friday open just for people as we've gone through this pandemic, but now it's time to return to normal operations.
Sounds
so tomorrow,
good.
The book of Titus.
On Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.